This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Eyes Wide Open.
Each summer when we have Vacation Bible School, and I'm asked to pray with the kids up front here, probably the one thing I remind them more than anything is that we bow our heads to show respect to God, and we close our eyes to shut out all the things that would interfere with us focusing on Him. But this morning, I have a question for you. Okay, so we bow our heads and we close our eyes. Now, what happens after we say amen? And that word, by the way, means so be it. What happens after we say amen? What happens after we open our eyes? And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. When we open our eyes after we pray, what are we expecting? What are we anticipating? What are we looking for? What's the result of that noise that if it's public like this, it's just filling the room? What do I expect to happen after I've prayed? Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It's interesting, as I looked at that, I realized something, that the first letters of ask, seek, and knock spell A-S-K. Ask. Prayer and petition are part of your inheritance as a child of the King of the universe, your Father. And when we pray by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We pray in faith, believing that God is receiving and God is hearing our prayer. In order for there to be communication, there has to be someone who is speaking. That message has to travel to the ear of a recipient. There has to be someone who is hearing. And then to close it off, there needs to be a response. Or we don't have a communication. It's that old story about if a tree falls in the wilderness, but there's no ear to hear it, as a sound made. By faith, we believe that our prayer thoughts and our prayer words are going beyond the space that we're in, going beyond this building. And they're traveling millions of light years to the very throne of God. We believe that. Amen? I don't believe it's just filling up the box. I believe it's not the volume. It's not the intensity of my words or yours. God hears even a whisper. In fact, God does even better than that. He hears your thoughts. And when He hears your thoughts in prayer and your words in prayer, you believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that He's hearing from you there in the many, 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 many billions of light years away in heaven. In faith, after receiving that, we believe prayer, we believe God is not too busy or overloaded with requests coming from the billions of other believers at the same mind, at the same moment. I mean, we don't get a busy signal when we call out to God. I mean, God's not sitting in His office. And the secretary says, God, it's Bob calling. Who? Are you too busy for Bob today? Look, I'll call him back. I mean, I was in business for 35 years. When I heard somebody, my secretary, say, he'll call you back, I knew that was never going to happen. God doesn't wait. God hears you. God knows what you're asking. He knows more than that. He knows your heart. He knows your motivation for that prayer. In faith, we believe that our great Creator God and Keeper of the universe is determining the outcome of our individual request. He's taking it in. And He's also determining what direction He is going to respond. What's best for you? What's best for me? 1 Kings chapter 8 reminds us that God hears and answers every prayer of the believer. We know God answers prayer in one of three ways. Yes, no, and wait. No, maybe. Yes, no, and wait. Someone wrote it this way. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow, wait. If you're wrong, God says grow, but if the request is right and the timing is right and you're right, God says go. Some prayers are answered almost immediately, and some take a very long time to be answered. How many of you know that? Amen. You know that. You know that some prayers, it got answered so quickly. I counseled with a young Christian one time who said, "Pastor, I'd like to get over my habit of smoking cigarettes." And my mind, I said, that's going to take quite a while. We prayed together. He prayed tearfully. Within 2 weeks, he never picked up another cigarette. Some prayers get answered quickly. Some prayers can take a lifetime, and you never get an answer that you want. God says, "I'll answer the reason why when you get to heaven." The old prophet Simeon, whose account is found in Luke chapter 2, had prayed for many years that he would live long enough to see God's long-promised Messiah with his own eyes. God eventually granted that prayer, as Simeon was present in the temple when Joseph and Mary brought the eight-day-old baby Jesus into the temple. Simeon didn't need an invitation or an introduction to recognize the Messiah. His eyes were open. Why? Because he was always looking for that day to come. When you pray, are you looking to God for the answer to that prayer? Are you expecting that God is going to answer that prayer? Are you anticipating that he's going to answer that prayer? Are you certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's listening? And again, it's not that he's going to answer the prayer the way you want it. We don't know the mind of God. He's infinite and we're finite. But we do know this. He loves us and only wants the best for us. And sometime we're going to find out exactly why that prayer was answered in a negative. He praises and blesses Jesus, holding him in his arms. And Simeon says this in Luke 2, 29 and 30. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen of thy salvation." Persistent, fervent prayer is heard and it's answered. Have you lost hope that God will answer some recent request you've lifted up so that you now have given up? Have you lost hope? Some say, "Pastor, the faith I need to keep praying is wavering." There's an account given by the Lord which may encourage you. It's the account of a man who has come to town to reach out to Jesus because his son has had an illness all his life. He's seriously ill. But when he hears that Jesus has come to town, he knows that Jesus has healed so many people of so many things. He's even raised the dead. And Dad says, "I want that power to touch my child." It's found in Mark chapter 9. I'm going to read this account because I'm going to ask you to stand with me for something later on. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 with 29. "And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes," Jesus says to the father. 24, "Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind come forth not by nothing, but by prayer and fasting." It needs Jesus' hand and Jesus' touch. There's a little word found in the back and forth between the Father and the Son that's a critical word. Father asks Jesus if he could do anything to help. And Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible." The if factor. If you can do it. And Jesus said, "Well, if you can believe, all things are possible." And then the Father says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." There are people here this morning whose belief is getting a little worn and a little weary. It's true for all of us from time to time. You may be here today, and that may be getting weary for you. "Help thou my unbelief" would be a good prayer at a time like this. Sometimes we get into situations and circumstances and we're praying for God's help. We're praying for God's help. We're praying in faith, believing. But standing in the corners of our faith is the shadowy figure of doubt. We're so sure that we believe it, and yet there is that little bit of doubt that hangs out in the corners of our mind. Sometimes we lose sight of what God has done in the past of our life. There were previously seeming unsurmountable events. They loomed over your life. Do you remember those times? Do you remember when you went through that last season of really tough times and you wanted to throw in the towel? Do you remember that time you went through the situation or the one that you're going through now and you just feel like it's hopeless and you just don't have the strength to be able to carry on and you just wanted to give up? The Lord comes and says, hang on. I didn't promise you a rose garden. I didn't promise you that life would be easy. I didn't promise you that it would always go the way you hoped it would go, or the way you dreamed it would go, the way you thought it would go, or the way you thought I planned it for you. But I just want you to know that what you're going through right now, keep praying. I'm going to go through this with you so that what you're going through right now is bearable. Maybe just bearable. Maybe there are times when you've reached your absolute limit. That's the time to pray for something that you need at that time. And that's strength. When your mind is so filled with the situation and the circumstances, you feel like you're going to go crazy. That's the time to ask Him to hold you up. That's the time to claim His promises. Thou wilt keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Lord, keep my mind focused on You. Lord, the situation is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Lord, I can't get through this. I know I can't make it. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to handle, but with that temptation, make a way to escape. For the moment, not get you through the circumstance or make the circumstance disappear. He's not promising that. He's promising that you'll be able to handle the situation that you've got, as crushing as it may be. And they are. You're not imagining that it's hard. It is hard. You're not imagining that it's more than you can take. It is more than you can take. But you're not alone in this. You're going to get through it minute by minute, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day with God's help. Why? Because that's what He promised. God said, I'm not a man that I can lie. I've made you a promise that you can get through this. I'll even tell you that you can get through this better and not bitter. I'm telling you that you're going to get through this different than your next door neighbor who doesn't trust me, who doesn't believe me, who's not hanging on to me. And what God's saying, hang on to my promises. I'll get you through this. I'm not going to let you drown. I'm not going to let you be crushed beyond your ability. I'm going to come alongside. I'm going to bring people into your life who love you and care for you and will pray for you and will be a source of support to you. Reach out to one of them. Call upon a lifeline. Long before that game show had lifelines, God had lifelines. Lifeline to Him. A lifeline to the Holy Spirit. A lifeline to the Word. A lifeline to your brothers and sisters. You don't have to go through this alone. If you go through this alone, it's because you've chosen to go through it alone. It's not God's plan. God's plan is lifelines. Lifelines for you. Encouragement from the Word. Forgetting what God has done in the past, because the past is prologue, keeps you from seeing the victories that could be yours down the line. 1 Chronicles 6:8-12 is what we're going to read together this morning. 1 Chronicles 8:12, David has gone through a very difficult situation. He started forgetting God's past victories, and that began to erode his confidence. Let's stand together for 1 Chronicles 16:8-12 as we read from the Psalms as recorded in Chronicles. Ready? Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Thank you. You may be seated. I found four things there in that text. The text is in your notes. Look it up when you need it, and you're going to need it. Number one, in verse 8, I found this key. Don't stop thanking and praising God for past victories. Be grateful. Grateful for what he's already done. Because in the midst of this teapot boiling, you forget what he's done. He got you through yesterday, and it's a new day. And you didn't think you'd get through today. But he's promised you're going to get through today. He's going to give you whatever you need to get through today. No matter how dark the veil of doubt may keep looking, no matter how dark that veil looks to you, keep looking for the pinprick of light. You know, fabric is not really all that solid. And when you've got a dark cloth over your face, maybe there's just a place where you can see the tiniest bit of light. When you're going through a dark time and it feels like it's all dark around you, look for the pinprick of light. Look for the little opening where you can see the daylight, the sunlight, God's light, and head for it. Head for it in your mind. Head for it in your focus. Head for it in your thinking. Head for it in your prayers, and light will come. The light will come. It's not total darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Number two, verse 9, don't lose your song. I'm a singer. I'm from the singers, and I love to sing. And when I sing, it just lifts me up. You too. And I love to hear you sing. There are times when I just shut my mouth and I listen to you. And I love to hear the voices of the saints singing. Psalm 150 talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, all his children, all of us. Make a joyful noise. Sing unto him songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving. Sing. When you're down and out, try it. Try singing. Okay, well, I can't sing, Pastor. It sounds like, well, you fill in the blank. But singing is a source of joy. And if you can't do it, turn on a Gaither DVD or something. We have the Browders coming in November. Get one of your Browder CDs and play the Browders. Push comes to shove, give me a call. I'll sing to you over the phone. Forget it. Number three, verse 2, verse 12. Don't forget. Remember. Those are two different things. Don't forget and remember. Be proactive. Remember that when you were weak, God gave you his strength. Remember that when you were lost, he found you. Remember, when you were hopeless, he gave you hope. This feels like a hopeless world. This feels like there's no way out. This feels like there are circumstances and situations and things going on in the world today for which there are no answers to be found in the thinking of the world. I know this. For every question, there is an answer, and it's a name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the answer. Trust him. Number four, verse 11. Keep looking for God's face, his hand, his fingerprints in your today and in your tomorrows. If you're keeping your eyes wide open, you're looking for the movement of God's hand in all the nooks and crannies of what you call your living. I mean, you can see him if you're looking. If you, after you stop praying and you open your eyes, if you're looking, did you see sunrise? Yesterday was a brilliant sunrise. It was beautiful, gold orange. That was God kind of winking over the mountain there, letting us know he's there, coming up with a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful sunset. Did you hear the song of bird? Did you hear his voice? The golden sunrise that brings beauty to the start of your day. How about the resolution of a knotty problem at home or at work? You can see God's fingerprints in that because there were things that have happened in my life. I could never have worked them out. I was playing checkers while God was playing four-dimensional chess. I was just playing checkers, man. Did you sense his guiding presence as you navigated your automobile around the swerving car ahead of you? Or as your car fishtailed on the ice and got straightened out, getting you to your destination safely? Did you say that's a God thing? Or did you pat yourself on the back for your great driving skills? As you left the doctor's office, after having gone for an examination and the doctor gave you a great bill of health, I'm sure you thanked the doctor, you thanked the nurses, you thanked the anesthesiologist, you even went up to the billing department and said, thank you for billing me because it was a great thing I got. But when you walked out the door of the hospital, did you look up and say, thank God? And thank you, Lord. You got me through this. God gave those doctors and those nurses the wisdom and the skill of hand and the technology and the pharmaceuticals and the therapies and the various methodologies needed to treat you as God was healing you. Are you keeping your ears wide open for the myriad of ways God is watching over, your eyes wide open for the myriad of ways God is watching over and caring for you each hour of each day? Are you looking for that? Are you giving him the credit due him and the thanks to him and the praise to him? Our faith gives us the privilege of foresight, believing and knowing that God is in control of even the smallest details of our life. And our experience gives us the hindsight to see just how he was in control of a particular situation. None of those things are a coincidence. I get so down when I hear people attribute coincidence to things that are only God incidents, or a matter of their own skill, or a case of good luck. Weren't you lucky? I think I told you the story about, I have some wonderful cousins. And when they heard I was going into the ministry, one of them said to me, Bobby, good luck. Now, my cousin's a gambler. And I said to him, you know, cuz, that's really not the answer. Because I know you go down to Atlantic City a lot to gamble. Now, if you were heading down to Atlantic City and you let me know, and I said to you, oh, you're going to Atlantic City? God bless you. It doesn't, that the two don't go together. That's when you say, when you look back over situations that will come your way, examine them carefully. I mean, have your eyes wide open, looking for how God intervened, looking for what it is he did, seeing his fingerprints, seeing his hand marks, knowing that it's Jesus who's watching over you, not circumstance, not coincidence, not somebody else. I have two closing stories for you. Awaken to pray. His nightmares began each day when he awoke. James Steagles was 19. He was in Vietnam. Though he carried a small Gideon New Testament in his shirt pocket, he couldn't bring himself to read it. His buddies were cut down around him. Terror was building within him, and God seemed far away. His 20th birthday passed, then his 21st. At last, he felt he couldn't go on. On February 26, 1968, he prayed for it all to end, and his heart told him he would die before dusk. Sure enough, his base came under attack that day, and Jim heard a rocket coming straight toward him. 3 seconds to live, he told himself. 2, 1. Then, a friend shoved him into a grease pit, and he waited for the rocket to explode, but there was only a surreal silence. The fuse malfunctioned. For 5 hours, James knelt in that pit, and finally his quivering hand reached into his shirt pocket and took out his testament. Beginning with Matthew, he continued through the first 18 chapters. When I read Matthew 18, 19 and 20, he said, I somehow knew things would be all right. Long after Jim returned home, he visited his wife's grandmother, Mrs. Harris. She told him a night years before when she was awakened in terror, knowing Jim was in Vietnam. She had sensed he was in trouble. She began praying for God to spare his life, unable to kneel because of arthritis, so she laid prone on the floor, praying and reading her Bible all night. Just before dawn, she read Matthew 18, 19, 20. If two of you agreed down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Where two or three gather together because they are mine, I am there among them. She immediately called her Sunday school teacher, who got out of bed and went to Mrs. Harris's house, where together they claimed the Lord's promise as they prayed for Jim, until reassured by God's grace. Having told Jim that story, Mrs. Harris opened her Bible to show him where she had marked the passage. In the margin were the words, "Jim, February 26, 1968. Power of prayer, because of the power behind prayer. Final story. Archibald Gracie, relished his swim on April 14, 1912. The ship's pool was, quote, 6-foot tank of salt water, heated to a refreshing temperature. In no swimming bath had I ever enjoyed such pleasure before, end quote. But his account went on to say, quote, how near it was to being my last plunge before another day I would be swimming for my life in mid-ocean in a temperature 28 degrees. After his swim that Sunday night aboard ship, Colonel Archibald Gracie retired to his cabin and fell asleep, only to be awakened by a, quote, sudden shock and noise. Dressing quickly, he ascended to the deck and leaned and learned the ship had collided with an iceberg. During the same moments in New York, his wife's sleep was also disturbed. Seized by sudden anxiety, she sank to her knees, holding her prayer book, which by chance was open to the prayer for those at sea. She prayed earnestly until about 5 a.m. when the burden lifted. She rested quietly until 8 when her sister came, softly to the door, newspaper in hand, to gently break the news that the Titanic had sunk. What happened, meantime, to her husband? Quote, I was in a whirlpool, swirling round and round, as I still tried to cling to the railing of the ship as it plunged to the depths below. Down, down I went. It seemed a great distance. Ascending back to the surface, I could see no Titanic. She had entirely disappeared beneath the surface of the ocean without a sign of any wave. A thin, light gray, smoky vapor hung like a pall a few feet above the sea. There arose the most horrible sounds ever heard by mortal man, the agonizing cries of death for over 1,000 throats. Colonel Archie Gracie later wrote, quote, I know of no recorded instance of providential deliverance more directly attributable to prayer. To prayer. What happens when you open your eyes? Today and in the days ahead, keep your eyes open, wide open, and keep looking up, for your God is looking down upon you right now. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.